First one being in Galatians chapter 4, the first seven verses all deal with the multiple facets of our relationship with God, our Father. The first one that we read, Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse number 1 through verse number 7, teaches us that we are God's children. And although we are children, we are not immature, yet we are full-grown children. Each of these passages that we read, we see a slight contrast of differing points that show us an aspect of our relationship with God, our Father. We are children, yet we're not immature. We are children, yet we are full-grown. It's like the relationship that I would have with my dad and you would have with your fathers. Though I am his child, I am full-grown, I am mature, I am on my own. Dad doesn't have to outline and spell out for me every tiny thing that I should and shouldn't do. Dad can't tell me what to do anymore. Although he might give me advice, I could choose to listen to it or not. Really, as a full-grown man, I am my own household, fit to do what I see fit to do. Hopefully, Dad has taught me the right way to be. God is our Father, yet he is not the father of little children as he once was. These verses we read show us a glimpse into the Old Testament versus the New Testament today. Back then, the children of Israel were considered little children. As a matter of fact, they're little children that are not distinguishable from a servant, even though one day they would be lord of all the house, as we see in verse number 1. Verse number 2 tells us that these immature children are under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. And we were once like that, verse number 3, being in bondage under the elements of the world, specifically the Jews under the old law, by application the Gentiles under their ways that they lived before Christ came into effect for them. But we see that there was a fullness of time that came in verse number 4 when God brought forth his Son to buy us back, verse number 5, from under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And at this point, we cease being the immature children that God once had to govern and direct in every aspect of life to the full-grown men that God expects us to be, the full-grown men and women. Verse number 6, we are sons. And verse number 7, if we are a son, a full-grown son, we're not like a servant or a child anymore, but an heir of God through Christ. A good illustration of this would be in our giving. Consider the Jews under the law of Moses were given 10 commandments and 640 some ordinances that God told them to do. Every aspect of their life was dictated by God. When you bring in your harvest of grain, when you pick your fruit trees, when you bring in your sheep and your flocks and all these things, God said, do this and do that and give this and give that. Under the New Testament covenant, he tells his full-grown children, as you've been prospered, give. Let your heart determine what you would give and what you would put in the plate. He doesn't have to dictate every single tiny thing. He tells us what he wants. He expects us as full-grown men and women to do what he has outlined for us in the Bible. This is not, of course, to say that God leaves us generic rules all the time. We know what the Bible teaches. It's up to us, though, to make sure we do them as full-grown men. One facet of our relationship with God, we are his children, not immature, we are full-grown. Another one would be found in the book of Romans chapter 6. If you'll turn there with me, Romans chapter 6, a passage dealing with a former life of sin and death and a new life and a new creature made possible by our remission of sins through baptism, where our old man was buried and we are raised up a new creature. That old way is dead. The new is now what is focused on. And yet in this passage we see a contrast of things, almost a contradictory of terms. We are made free in Christ, and yet we are now the servants of righteousness. One would generally think when you are made free, you are no longer a servant. But in this case, it's one and the same thing. So another aspect of our relationship with God, we are free, yet we are his servants. As we read about, starting in verse number 16 and down through this passage, we were at one time servants of sin, servants of unrighteousness, because we didn't do the things that God expected of us to do. We did the things that the devil expected us to do. So we have always been slaves, slaves unto sin. That's what the Bible tells us. But God, in verse number 17, when we were the servants of sin, we obeyed and became free of that. There is our freedom. Verse number 18. We are free from sin, but now, yet, we are still servants, servants of righteousness. As Paul would tell us, verse number 20, we were servants of sin, now you are free from righteousness. We hadn't become Christians yet. So another aspect of our relationship with God is that although at one time we were slaves of sin, we were set free and made the servants at the same time, the servants of God. A good illustration could be seen in our own land that we live. This is the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the home of the brave, right? We are free here in America. And yet, no one would deny the fact that we in this country have laws that we have to follow. People who claim that we are free in Christ and say that there is no law, they must close their eyes to this fact. We are free in America, and yet there's law, is there not? Because if there was no law, we would be all doing whatever we wanted to do. We would all be doing what was right in our own eyes, just like the Israelites did in the book of Judges. So yes, we are free in this country, but there is still a body of laws that dictates what we can and cannot do, although we are free. Same as with this aspect of our relationship with God. We are free in Christ, and yet we are the servants of righteousness, no longer the servants of sin, because we have grown up and we're doing what God expects of us to do. Consider our next aspect of our relationship with God in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. The key verses here in Ephesians chapter 5 would be verse 15 and verse 17, where the Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In verse 17, "Wherefore being ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We are wise, and we are knowledgeable of God's will. We are not ignorant anymore. What makes us full grown? What makes us free? Unto what do we serve righteousness? Well, how do we know these things if we are unknowledgeable and unwise of God's law? So our next facet of our relationship with God shows us we are knowledgeable and wise of his will. As Dad was reading this context, starting in verse number 6 all the way down through verse number 17, we see this contrasted. You once were partakers of these worldly things, the children of disobedience we once were. Don't walk with them anymore, verse number 7. Sometimes, at one time, you were in darkness. Now you're in light, he says in verse number 8. We did the works of the flesh, as contrasted here to the fruit of the Spirit, doing what is right. Proving what is good and acceptable, verse number 10. We at one time had fellowship with darkness. Now God says, have nothing to do with it. Know the difference. Don't be unwise. Don't be as fools. Don't be this way, but know what God expects of us. Because in verse number 12, it is a shame to speak of those things, lest doing them, God would say, we are made manifest. Whoever does these things of God's commandment is in the light, as the Bible here tells us. Verse 14, therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Don't walk as a fool. Don't walk around with your eyes closed. Don't be unknowledgeable of what God expects of you. But contrary to that, redeem the time. Buy up what's left, because the days are short. We don't always have the time to do what God has commanded us to do. And finally, verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We understand what the will of the Lord is when we grow up, when we become free from sin, but servants of God, and when we dedicate our lives to studying his will. As Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, that we are to grow in this knowledge that God has left for us in his inspired word. Another aspect of our relationship with God, knowledgeable of his will. And finally, what I read a moment ago in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 25, shows us yet another aspect of our relationship with God. God wants us to be bold, yet obedient. Sometimes we read about or see on the news the criminals are getting bolder and bolder. Well, they say that because they know they're breaking the law and doing what is wrong, and they're doing it anyway. They have no regard for the law. God wants us to be bold, but not arrogant. Bold that we have salvation and we can know the truth and that we know we are going to heaven. But that doesn't mean that we start doing things that are right in our own eyes, that we make up our own system of religion, or that we make up our own idea of what is righteousness and what is not. God addresses that in the Bible. He expects us to be bold, yet obedient. There, it is possible to know exactly what God wants, to know you are doing what he wants, to be bold about it, and still be humble and submissive to his will and being obedient. So starting there in verse number 16, he's talking about this new covenant. It's not going to be like the one with the immature children, where he has to dictate their every move and write it out for them. There's a new covenant coming. God's going to put it in our hearts and in our minds. It's going to be a covenant that doesn't remember sin. This gives us a certain level of boldness. We don't rely on the blood of animals to push off the remembrance of our sin year by year, but we know that we have been redeemed and bought out of that by the blood of Christ. And that's why he says in verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. A Jew under the old law would never have entered into the holy place in the temple, ever, unless he was the priest who was supposed to be there. It wasn't his place. He wasn't allowed to. She wasn't allowed to. But we have boldness to go through that veil, that is his flesh, that passage tells us, and stand there in the presence of God. We have the boldness to do what they never could have done. God expects us to have this boldness while at the same time being obedient to his will. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse number 13 through verse number 19, talk to us about the love of God and how because of that we have boldness in that day, because we know what God expects, we know what God thinks of things, and we are willing to do it. I think it's verse number 15 that I'm looking for. No, it's verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So another facet then of our relationship with God, boldness yet obedience. In Hebrews chapter 10, those verses we just read, we are reminded over and over again, do what God says, do what God says, live by this new and living way. Remember the high priest is Christ. Let's draw near, let's hold fast, let's consider one another, and let's not miss the times we have to gather together and worship God. We can be bold in the day of judgment, yet still humble and obedient to what God has said. So these are just some of the facets of our relationship that we have with our Father in heaven. The fact that when we know his will, we grow up and mature and become his children. We are free from sin, yet the servants of righteousness, growing in our knowledge and in our boldness, and yet always being humble enough to do what God expects. So with these words, let us be reminded of what God expects of us as his children, as his servants, as his growing students, and as his obedient worshipers. And if we haven't patterned our lives after the example of what we see in the Bible, let's make the change, do what is right. As we're about to stand and sing a song, if there's anything we can do to help, let us know as we sing this invitation song.